Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty. Welcome to Cult Talks Conspiracy.
Before we unseal this file, we wanted to fill you in on some really exciting news.
For as little as $3 a month, you can be a part of our pursuit to hashtag question everything by clicking the support the show link found in the show notes of each episode.
Your support would mean the absolute world to us and help us dive deeper into the mind-blowing conspiracies you, Ty, and I all love.
Thank you for joining us, seeking the truth, and as always, question everything.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
File access granted.
Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Ty.
And I'm Bailey.
And this is Cult Talks Conspiracy, File 029, our Cult-tober finale. Been a whole month of episodes. Five episodes we have done this month now.
I'm tired.
Yes, this month has been insanity.
But there is no rest for the wicked.
No. We got to keep on rolling. It's crazy. The amount of content we put out this month is unreal.
It's crazy. If you had told me like 3 years ago, hey, we're going to put out a new episode like almost every day of Cult-tober, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy.
Oh, it is insane. Check out Cult-tober Plus if you don't believe us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There is a shit ton of content we put out. We put out 3 episodes a week on there.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. But we love Cult-tober. It's our baby. It's our big event. It's our big month. It's our big month that we do. You know, it's our biggest event of the year, and this is by far our biggest event ever so far. So.
Oh, yeah. And we all love Halloween.
Absolutely.
Where this really spawned from is we all have a deep love of Halloween and horror films. Although, I still can't get Mike to carve a pumpkin.
I have no idea why. Oh, he gets sick by the
it's like
pumpkins.
The smell. Yeah, we had a potato.
What
that
a pussy.
Carved.
That's what I say to Mike.
That's staying in there.
That's, yeah.
Pussy.
Keep it in there. He's a pussy.
I mean,
pumpkins are the best thing in the world.
They really are, though. Let's be real. So yeah. I totally felt like, finally, I am within my Northwestern like housewife era because like I finally bought Mums. I got like a haystack. Like I totally went like basic white bitch fall,
yeah,
and I was so proud of it.
Yeah, I imagine so.
It was amazing.
I keep my Halloween decorations up for most of the year anyway, so I always have my jack-o'-lantern shit out. So it's just that time of year for me.
You're a little like, alien.
Yeah, my alien stays hung out. I keep my pumpkins down on my entertainment center. All my shit stays up. It's Halloween all year for me. It's my favorite time of year. So
that's how I know what floor your apartment's on. I just look for the alien. I'm like, okay, I'm in the
The alien or the jack-o'-lantern doormat. Yeah, all year long. But finally, it's come to an end. And today is, of course, Halloween. So happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween. It's the best day ever.
Oh, absolutely. I was so excited when I seen that Halloween was on a Tuesday this year. That's awesome. We got to do our first Halloween Day episode.
Yay!
Last year, we talked about the Mothman, and we talked about the Ocean at Night. And those were only our third and fourth episodes. We're on episode 29.
Oh, my gosh.
Today. It is insane the amount of shit we've had this year.
It's insane.
We did a famous cryptid last year with Mothman, and we decided to celebrate Halloween by talking about another famous cryptid, one of the big ones. We're going to be talking about the Jersey Devil.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bailey, how much do you know about the Jersey Devil?
A little bit. A little bit. I feel like I'm going to learn more today. But just
Bit. You're going to learn a lot today. Jersey Devil, one of my favorites. For some reason, I remember back in the 90s, it was like really big. Jersey Devil was on a lot of the shows I watched when I was a kid because I watched shows like Sightings and Unsolved Mysteries and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember there being a show that I've still to this day have tried to find that there was a show that me and my dad watched when I was a kid that was worth Jersey Devil and I never been able to find it. So it's some 90s monster hunting show. So I've got to find that. But yeah, the Jersey Devil, I was introduced to at a really young age. Loved it. I thought it was such a cool cryptid because it has bat wings and it's demonic.
It freaks me out, man. It genuinely freaks me out.
Yeah, it's unlike any other cryptid.
It really is. And like with a lot of the cryptids that we've talked about, people have been able to like really like kind of, I would say, like come to bat with something, pun not intended, but still works, with something that is, that we know is biologically already here, and say like, no, that's what that really is. And for the most part, some of it is pretty much like, okay, they have a wonderful argument. Guys, it's allergy season here. I'm very sorry. But I haven't seen that with the Jersey Devil, which scares the fucking crap out of me. I'm like, it's real. It's real.
It very much could be. It seems like it's one of those cryptids that is very well known. Like I always consider it to be like part of the cryptid Mount Rushmore myself. I mean, I've always put it up there with, you know, Bigfoot, Mothman, Nessie, Jersey Devil. But shockingly, there's some people that just really don't know that much about the Mothman. I think the Mothman, if I was to name my cryptid Mount Rushmore, I'm sure that would be the one that people would be contentious of. I'm sure people could think of other number fours on that, but to me, that's my cryptid Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. Has always been those four. So definitely when it came around to us doing an episode for Halloween on Halloween Day, I thought this was the best way to close out Cult-tober, because the Jersey Devil definitely is a spooky type cryptid.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's right in there with, I mean, it's a devil.
Yes, like, demonic.
Ghosts, goblins, ghouls, and devils. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's right
in there. It fit right in there. It fit right in there with the whole theme we were trying to do this month by hitting all these, you know, popular monster types. And I thought Jersey Devil just fit so perfectly in there, and definitely something worth celebrating on Halloween Day.
Absolutely. I didn't find out about the Jersey Devil until, like, my adult life, when I really started looking more
into it. That is crazy.
I know.
I'm always shocked by that with anyone that tells me, like, oh, I just heard about Mothman, or because, like, mm-hmm. I don't even know where I learned this stuff. It's just things that I have known since I can remember, and I just assume everyone else does.
The gnomes told you at your grandma's.
I guess.
They just told you. They're like, here you go.
I guess. I just always, anytime someone's like, I don't know what that is, like, yeah, I talk about the Flatwoods Monster or anything like that, and people are like, I have no idea what that is. It blows my mind. It's like, I have just always known about this stuff.
You did that for me with the Loveland Frog. I had no idea what that was until last year, where you were like, let's go to the Loveland Frog Festival. And I'm like, the Weta?
Wow. I had no idea that was your
that was introduction my introduction to the Loveland Frog. To the Loveland Frog, because I expected it to be way smaller, because I was like, I've never heard of this before, and I live in Ohio. Well, apparently, I lived under the rock for a little longer than what I thought I actually did.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Man, I wish there was a show that would cover Ohio cryptids. That'd be great.
I mean, we could do it. We have some free time.
We could. But I think without further ado, Bailey, let's go ahead and let's kick off Halloween Day, All Hallows Day. And let's talk about the Jersey Devil in File 029, Fear the Barons, the legend of the Jersey Devil. So, Bailey, you just learned about the Jersey Devil, your adult life. It was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like when we all kind of like got together, and it was like one of those conversations we had like about different cryptids and whatnot. And I was like, the Jersey Devil, like what is this? Because I definitely, it wasn't like aliens for me. It wasn't something that was commonly talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. And then just kind of going on like my own research about it. And of course, like Monster Quest is amazing. I fucking love Monster Quest. So of course they have an episode on it. And I was just like, what the hell is this? Like, I'm pretty sure like the demon live among us.
Oh, I buy in the demons,
but not the ghosts,
Demons are,
spicier.
Demons are spicy. Yeah. Ghosts are just milk toast to me. I don't know. It's just, ugh. Just a thing. Yeah. Give me a reason to believe. Other than, you know, flickering lights or whatnot. But
I mean, there's like knocking and whatnot. And like,
knocking on things. Yikes.
Footsteps coming like right at you. Like, don't you
insane tell me. Stuff.
You would tell me you wouldn't be scared shitless if you heard footsteps running right at you on a hardwood floor. Just the feet hitting the hardwood floor.
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Maybe. I would assume it was a Hollow Man before I would assume it was a ghost, though.
Bacon's gonna get you.
Yeah, I can get behind that. But the legend of the Jersey Devil far exceeds a couple years ago, Bailey. We're going to be going way back for this one, because the interesting thing with the Jersey Devil is it is like a historical cryptid.
It's old.
It's old. It's a cryptid that's really stood the test of time. So the Pine Barrens are located in New Jersey. They were originally settled by the Lenape people, or the Lenape, or the Delaware people, as they were called. And they settled that land nearly 10,000 years ago. Now, in the early 17th century, the first Europeans explored the Barrens. These would be the Swedish and the Dutch. And the Barrens, they stretch over 1 million square miles.
Jeez.
They cover seven different counties. It's just a vast, vast area. Kind of akin to the, it's crazy. I'll compare it to this, but it's like dwarfed by this area. But the Pacific Northwest, Bigfoot country.
Yeah.
You would think you could kind of compare those, but you really couldn't. Like the Barrens is so much smaller, but it's just this vast area. And it's known for its undergrowth and its thick foliage. There's some parts of the area that are just totally inaccessible. No trails, no roads. More than likely areas that people have never even stepped foot on just because of how thick the Barrens are.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's massive. Very spooky kind of woods, too. If you ever look at any pictures, it's very like spooky kind of, like something you'd see in a movie.
It's like a gray forest almost.
Yes. Very thick. It blots out the sun. Now, among the first settlers to arrive were the Quakers from England. You know, the guys from the Oats.
Yeah.
Very Christian.
Oh, the Quaker Oats people?
Yes, that's the Quakers.
Uh-oh.
You know, the old guys, the big brim hats, square top hats.
They make some good oats.
I hate oats.
You don't like oats?
I only like oats when I put it in, like, I bake apple crisp, so I'll put it in there, but I don't like oats by themselves. Just
I'll eat oatmeal all day long. All day long.
Now, among the Quakers was a man by the name of Daniel Leeds. Now, get used to that last name, Leeds, because we're going to be talking about that a lot. There's going to be a lot of people with the last name Leeds who are going to come up in this story. Daniel was prominent in the Quaker community. He was an almanac maker. Are you familiar with almanacs? Do you know what almanacs are?
Oh, yes. My parents come from farmers.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too. My dad always had almanacs.
That's awesome. Yeah, my grandparents like swore by it. I'm pretty sure my grandma still gets them. And, like,
really?
Like, this is the weather. Like, yeah.
Yeah, my dad was very much that way too. He thinks that just the almanacs are, you swear by them.
Yep.
Despite how often they're incorrect, but
yeah.
Who cares, I guess.
They didn't have global warming back then.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, Daniel, very prominent. These almanacs he made were all over the Quaker community, but his almanacs actually caused quite a bit of controversy within the community, as they were deemed blasphemous or too pagan.
Oh my, Mr.
It was
Daniel
claimed. Quaker. Yeah, he was apparently putting some pagan rhetoric in his almanacs. It was claimed by the congregation following his 1687 almanac that they contained astrological symbols. Astrology, very frowned upon by the church. Most churches will frown upon that as, you know, a tool of the devil.
Okay.
In ancient times, astrology was saw as a tool of the devil.
You want me to pray to the heavens, but you don't want me to look at it.
Right. Okay. I mean, I'm not a fan of astrology because I think it's just
astrology,
astronomology, whatever it is, astrology. I'm not a fan of that. I think it's just stupid. I don't buy into it. I don't buy into it one bit. I hate when people are talking about their symbols and their
I'm a
I'm not one of the people. I just roll my eyes when someone, you know, if you're complaining about something like, oh, you know, I couldn't get much sleep. Oh, you know, it's because Venus is in retrograde. It's like, no, it's because I slept shitty. That's why I didn't sleep.
Wow. But it really does have an effect on you, like the way that the energies like are around you and everything, because everything has energy. So like those different retrogrades and those different turns, like they could actually do something to you metaphysically as well.
Yeah, all that sound like bullshit. you'll keep trying.
I'll keep trying, man. No, but like, oh man, I have had people tell me like, oh, we get along so well because we're both Virgos, and I'm like, or it's because like you're not a shitty person, and I'm not.
Yeah, because all you have things in common. That's why you get along.
So he was like, was he like telling horoscopes, or was it just like the?
I don't quite know the depth, but apparently this the almanacs had what the Quakers perceived to be astrological symbols, which they akin to demonic symbols. They related to the devil because they did see it as the devil's as a devil's tool.
Yes.
As such, Daniel's writings were censored and some even destroyed.
Ooh.
But Mr. Leeds did not bow to the Quakers. No. He continued his writings, but now with more astrological symbols. Daniel began to become more and more fascinated with topics such as occultism, demonology, and natural magic. He also began to publish anti-Quaker pamphlets.
Oh.
Yeah, he got his mind into some other things and realized he no longer wanted to follow this Quaker bullshit.
Oh boy.
Which that's a lot of thing with religion. You know, that's one of the main dangers of religion when people start thinking outside the box, which is what occurred here. Daniel started thinking outside the box, thinking freely, and just decided like, hey, I don't wanna follow these rules. And being a publisher, he just used the tools of his trade to voice that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this led the Quakers to deem Daniel as evil. Mm-hmm. And in turn, they also published their own pamphlet called Satan's Harbinger Encountered, being something by way of answer to Daniel Leeds. The intent of this writing was to publicly accuse Daniel of being an agent of Satan.
Does now, he have to get a license too, or like, is that a real estate thing? Like,
I think it's just a real estate thing.
I just need to know.
I don't think there's any license of Agent of Satan, although that would be some good merch idea.
Oh, yes.
Copyrighted.
Yes, that's ours. I love the fact that they released in the public like two different pamphlets. It's like, yes. It's literally like old time celebrities going at each other.
Oh, it gets like that here shortly. Like this is something I was thinking of the whole time, how petty these people were. And it's just like, we have not changed in the hundreds of years. Like we're just the same people. Man. It's just different mediums.
Ooh, that scares me.
Yeah, it's very funny, like the way the story kind of this section of the story kind of goes, because it is just people having pissing matches in the public eye, but they're just using different mediums. After Daniel's passing, his son Titan would inherit the business and continue his father's work. The Leeds Almanac became so popular that it began to compete with another popular almanac maker of the time, Mr. Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, like the Ben Frank,
the sixth president of the United States.
I'm supposedly related to him.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly. I have no idea where, but I've been told by a family member that we're supposedly related to him. I don't know if that's true.
Sounds reliable.
It's, yeah. I heard it from my second cousin, like, when I was, like, four.
In 1733, Franklin made a bold prediction in his almanac. So Titan and Benjamin Franklin, they were competitors, basically. They were both vying for the number one almanac in the 1700s, apparently.
Oh, wow.
October 1733 would see the death of Titan Leeds.
Oh.
Perhaps this was just a humorous rib at Titan's expense by his rival. See, Benjamin Franklin put that in his almanac.
Oh,
you know, he's like, oh, you know, September will be a good time for planting your crop, and then in October, Titan leaves will die.
Just fucking gaslight. Oh my god.
Yep.
You Titan, son of a bitch.
Titan was actually quite infuriated by this prediction.
No shit.
Yes, he was very upset. He was infuriated by the claim, and he began to use his almanac to smear Franklin.
Oh.
Franklin, however, continued. He claimed Titan had indeed passed away, but was continuing to write his almanac as a ghost.
See, that would make it more popular these days.
I feel like it, yeah. Even following Titan's actual death, Franklin continued to depict Titan as a ghost. So these guys were just having a little rivalry in public eye using their almanacs to smear each other, much like you would Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, whatever it would be nowadays.
I can just see some of these people getting hold of these almanacs and then just like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I know there's some shit in here. Where's the tea? Yeah, where is it?
Exactly. Now, many people attribute the public disputes between the Leeds family and their rivals in the Quaker community and Benjamin Franklin for popularizing the term Leeds Devil. You know, the Quakers had said that Daniel was working for the devil, and Franklin claimed that Titan to be a ghost because of his dealings with the devil.
Hmm.
By the 19th century, the Leeds Devil had evolved from the almanac makers to something more horrifying. The newspaper, Atlantic Monthly, which still exists today as the monthly magazine, The Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's still going. That's pretty interesting. That's cool. This magazine from the 1800s is still in public in a publication today.
That's awesome.
They published an article in 1859 detailing a supposed folktale that existed amongst the residents of the Barrens. The folktale spoke of stories of a monster roaming the Barrens. A monster called by local pine rats, which was a term for people who lived in the Barrens. They were called pine rats.
Were they homeless?
No, there's people lived in the Barrens. They just called them pine rats. Oh. Which is something that would continue through, like, I think even up to very recently, where people who lived in the Barrens were looked down upon.
Oh.
They're looked down upon as kind of like people who are trying to separate themselves from society or not fit for society. They would put them out in the Barrens.
They literally were like, go to the barren land.
Basically, that's what it was kind of looked at is, you know, the people in the Barrens were lesser than people in normal civilization because that's how isolated the Barrens are.
I mean, it also works on the opposite end. If you want to be left alone, they're going to leave you alone if you live out there. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Hey.
The pine rats refer to this monster as the Leeds Devil. This monster was later described in a newspaper article from 1887 as the Devil of Leeds.
Oh.
Residents of Burlington County, New Jersey began reporting sightings of a monstrous winged creature.
Bum, bum, bum.
The people of Burlington described its unearthly howl that would frighten all men and animal alike. It had been hunted by and shot by the best marksman, but it could not be killed.
Oof.
The creature was feared by every person in Burlington and its surrounding areas. But everyone in New Jersey knew about the legend of the 13th child. Now, this legend is what most people know when they think of the Jersey Devil. They would probably associate it with this legend. This also involves a person by the surname of Leeds. Couldn't find anywhere if these people are actually related or if it's just some kind of unfortunate coincidence. But folklore refers to Jane Leeds.
Okay.
Most famously known as Mother Leeds, who was shunned by English settlers because of her practicing of pagan rituals. She was then forced to move deep into the Pine Barrens, but she didn't go alone. Mother Leeds was named, rightfully so, as she was mother to 12 children.
Oof, get off of her.
Right? She's getting around. For someone who's unliked or, you know, shunned by the community.
Oof. You have, yeah, like, they say it all stretches back. They're just falling out of her. Like,
they gotta be. Now, this was until 1735, when she became pregnant with her 13th. On a dark, stormy night, Mother Leeds went into labor, but this was unlike any time before. You see, prior to going into labor, Mother Leeds cursed her 13th child, proclaiming it would be the devil. Now, there's some variation on this legend. Some versions will depict Mother Leeds as a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And that she is actually impregnated by Satan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To bear her child. So it's kind of that tit for tat, whichever one you prefer. Either she cursed the child or the child is a child of Satan himself.
Yeah. One of the legends that I read said that she had, like, asked God for a favor, quote unquote, and it was to make that child a devil because she didn't want it.
That sounds kind of like this curse. Like, that would be how she'd curse it, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, to talk about, like, witchcraft and whatnot, like, some stories I've read where supposed witches, Satan worshippers, have actually, like, sacrificed their firstborn child to Satan because it's the innocence that the devil and Satan crave. So what's more innocent than a newborn life, one that hasn't even had a chance yet to sin?
Oh, like, so, yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
So some of the time, I should say, because there's not a lot of accounts of this happening, or at least being reportedly happening. It was more told in legend and folklore. Is the witch would give birth to the baby and then sacrifice it to the devil as basically a giant insult to God, because she's using her God-given right to produce it to the devil and, you know, defile it in that way.
Wow.
So yeah, little history, little yeah, witchcraft history.
Well, good. As the child was being birthed, all seemed to be normal, as it was a beautiful baby boy. But then suddenly, its feet turned to hooves.
Ugh.
Its head contorted to the shape of a goat, and it sprouted wings and a forked tail.
Uh-oh.
The child, now monster, screamed and whipped those in the room with its tail before flying through the chimney into the night. It would circle the nearby town, letting out its unearthly howl. The monster would then call the Pine Barrens its home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also in this legend, there are some accounts that actually killed the bed mother, the woman there to help Mother Leeds pass the, you know, have the child, and actually killed her after it changed, and then it flew out the chimney.
It's first kill.
It's first blood.
Yeah, got a taste for it afterward.
Yes.
That's some bullshit. Like, I just
actually, you know, it's interesting when, like, looking at stuff about the Jersey Devil, it doesn't seem to, like, prey on humans per se.
Really?
I can't find very many instances aside from, like, its initial legend where it kills the bed mother and flies off. But most of the other accounts you'll find are it, you know, killing livestock or pets or, you know, animals or whatever. It doesn't seem like it has claimed too many human lives.
Yeah, actually, you're right on that one, because I didn't hear other than the bed mother. You're right. But that is some bullshit too. It's like, I just helped bring you into the world.
Yeah.
Devil child. Like, fuck. I didn't know you were going to come out like that.
Now, the description of the 13th child is similar to popular characters of Satan or other demonic apparitions. Bat-like wings, goat head, huge claws. This is also nearly identical to something else. Forward now, 1728, after taking over his father's almanac business, and shortly before engaging his rivalry with the future sixth president of the United States, Titan Leeds began using his family's crest on the cover of all the almanacs.
Mm-hmm.
The Leeds family crest. This crest depicted a fierce, dragon-like creature with bat-like wings standing on its clawed, hooved feet, with the head similar to that of a goat.
Oh.
So there was kind of this image associated with the actual Leeds family you know, Titan and Daniel, like mm-hmm. they actually had that associated with them as well. This demonic bipedal creature.
Ooh, that's really strange.
Yeah. Because the Leeds, I believe the Mother Leeds legend predates the Daniel Leeds story. Now, Daniel Leeds, not a legend at all. I mean, he's like, this is like actual stuff. Daniel yeah. and Titan are noted. Now, Jane Leeds is actually theorized to be an actual living person that there's a record of. Mm-hmm. By the name of Deborah Leeds, I believe was her name.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a Deborah Leeds who lived in New Jersey at that time, who had 12 kids. So many historians believe that to be Mother Leeds.
Interesting. Man, 12 fucking kids.
Yeah. Ooh. People had a lot back then. That's all they had. They didn't have anything else to do.
Oof.
Bare kids.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do for fun?
That freaks me out. What else are you going to do for fun? How about not, like, destroy someone's body? Like, yeah. Let's not do that. Well,
woman, I mean, she'll get over it.
It's fine. I mean, you're having fun in the pretense.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck it. That's crazy. I'm actually trying to rack my brain to be like, because I saw it in the show Vikings, and I feel like I've heard this before in certain folklore, but anyway, in that show, Ragnar Lothbrok forces himself onto his wife after he comes home from battling, and his wife curses the child that he impregnates her with from raping her. And like, she had like a really like hard labor and whatnot, and like very similar to this. And then when the baby was born, he was only born with one eye.
Oh, wow.
And they called him like something, Eye of the Snake or Snake Eye or something like that. I'll have to, there's a commenter in here. I'm sure you'll tell me if that's actual fact or not. We'll find out. So you know who you are.
But not only does the Leeds Devil bear a resemblance to the Leeds family crest, as noted prior to settlement, the Pine Barrens were home to the Delaware people, the Lenape. These people believed there to be a spirit that dwelled within the Pine Barrens called Masingwa. This creature was known as the Masked Spirit.
Oh.
Powerful spirit that would appear to the Lenape men in their dreams. The Masked Spirit maintained the balance of nature. It would reward respectful hunters, but punish those who disrespected the forest.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty good spirit.
That seems fine, yeah.
The Masingwa would take many different forms, with one of those being a deer creature with leathery, bat-like wings.
Hmm.
Now, this legend is well before any European people set foot in the Pine Barrens. Predates Mother Leeds, Daniel Leeds, all the such. This was the legend of the Lenape people. So, very interesting. You have this creature who spans these three different tales of possible origin stories for this creature.
Yeah.
That they all have nearly identical descriptions.
That's weird. That's really weird. That's when I start looking at it like, okay, that's a little bit too much right there. When you've got already centuries, because I mean, people are still seeing it is also the thing. Like, people are still seeing this. So
it's very,
I mean,
very rare now, but yes, it's still seen from time to time.
So like, and I mean, when you've got like time and everything to back that up, that to me is just like, I don't know what the fuck's out there, but something's out there.
Yes.
No.
I think that the just like, it's so interesting that the Masingwa is something that exists and people have, you know, are basically seeing the identical thing within the Barrens even today, when it mm-hmm. was something that, you know, for all we know, 10,000 years or however it may be, the Lenape people have been in that area. So,
I mean, Because you have to like think to yourself, like, these people were master hunters as well. So, I mean, they're going out there, they're hunting for their food, they're hunting for, you know, their way of life. So, I mean, and the fact that it's like it's still very desolate, or not desolate, but just unexplored as well. It freaks me out, man. Freaks me out. I think something's out there. I don't like it.
I mean, it's something that, you know, I think is it's just super interesting, like these different elements you can take from these three stories. Mm-hmm. And there is people that believe that maybe the Jersey Devil, because each part of the Jersey Devil legends, you can find historical fact within them, which we talk about a lot in the show. That's mm-hmm. kind of what makes a good conspiracy, is when you can pepper in some truth into it. Because you're that way you have this really fantastical thing backed up by this factual thing. So it's like it's very easy to question, you know, where the truth and where the lie, or where the story and the truth begin and end. So it is very interesting that all these pieces are there, and you know, a lot of people who may be detractors of the Jersey Devil legend will use that as, you know, these are all, it's kind of like a creepypasta or conspiracy pasta.
Yeah.
Where mm-hmm. it's these different things you put together and you arrange to make this really, really interesting story. But neither here nor there, the Jersey Devil would be seen consistently throughout the 1800s, 1700s. Mm-hmm. Napoleon Bonaparte, his brother, would actually see the creature while hunting in Europe.
I read that one. That one was cool. That was really cool.
All the historical figures that are kind of tied to the Jersey Devil, mm-hmm. You know, Benjamin Franklin, Napoleon Bonaparte. It's very interesting. All these people have like a webbed connection to the Jersey Devil in some way. Mm-hmm. But 1909 would be the most active year for this elusive cryptid.
Why? What happened in 1909?
Well, one snowy morning that January, the residents of New Jersey awoke to find bipedal hoofed tracks throughout the entire area. And I'm talking throughout New Jersey, not a town, like throughout the entire state.
Oh.
There were these hoofed footprints all throughout. Soon, reports came in of residents hearing loud banging at their doors and human screeches outside. Reports spread from New Jersey into Maryland, into Delaware.
Oh!
Posses were formed to hunt the creature.
What on earth?
Expert hunters were called in from different states to go into the Pine Barrens to track, find, and kill the Jersey Devil. It reportedly attacked a trolley and laid siege to a very popular social club.
Oh, they're not doing anything in there. They're just trying to have a good time, man.
Even police in Pennsylvania reported seeing the creature, opening fire, and the creature being completely unfazed.
That's scary. Absolutely not. No. Listen, mm-hmm. was it aggressive though, or was it one of those things where it didn't start getting aggressive until like it was?
Well, it's banging at people's doors trying to get in. It attacked a trolley, so I mean,
yeah. So
it seemed like it was on some sort of rampage, and this would go on for an entire week with people finding footprints and hearing noises and attacks and sightings that stretched across four states.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, all in one week in January of 1909.
Oh, gross.
The Philadelphia Zoo would even post a $10,000 reward for the capture of the monster, to which, of course, several hoaxes would spring from this, including one that saw a live kangaroo painted green with bat wings fixed to it.
Oh my gosh.
Which I imagine is 1900s, where you get a kangaroo, and I imagine that kangaroo probably was like, it probably died. They probably put toxic paint on it.
That kangaroo was not treated nicely.
I would guarantee it wasn't.
Poor kangaroo. We're sorry.
A similar wave of sightings would actually take place later in the year 1960, with the footprints and sightings. All in a very short time span. a chicken farmer would claim that he actually caught the creature on his farm. He shot it, killed it, took a picture of it, and would show this picture to people, and they had no idea what it was. Picture never survived. It was just that's one of those tales. Two boys actually reported seeing a dead Jersey Devil floating in a nearby river.
Oh gosh! So is there more than one?
Possibly, if these are actual bodies, it would confirm to me that there would be multiple Jersey Devils.
I mean, that's what it sounds like if multiple people are coming up and are like, I saw it dead. Like,
yeah. Just like in 1909, the 1960 sightings would bring forth all the local merchants from New Jersey would all pull their money together, and they would offer $10,000 for the Jersey Devil captured alive.
Oh, they want it live.
They want it alive because they wanted to build an enclosure and charge people to come see it.
Oh, capitalism.
Yes. They're merchants, of course. But unfortunately, no one stepped forward and was able to claim the $10,000 reward.
Oh, not even the kangaroo guy?
No, he didn't come back.
He didn't come back. No, I'm good. We're good with that one.
In modern times, sightings of the Jersey Devil have become rare. In 2015, there's a very popular photo you'll find online that a man claimed is a photo of the Jersey Devil. It made its rounds all over social media and whatnot when it came out. Not very captivating. It's just like, it looks to me like you have like a stuffed goat. They put some wings on it and like threw it in the air and just snapped a picture is what it looks like.
Is it a really blurry one?
Yeah, where it looks like it's just a goat with wings. Yeah. That one.
Yeah. It does. It really does.
Yeah, like a toy goat. Yeah, it's what it is. I'm pretty sure it is. It has not really spurred many imaginative people. People are pretty quick to dismiss it. It didn't trick anyone, I don't believe.
No, but that's a really small Jersey Devil.
It is. It's very tiny.
It's so cute.
The Jersey Devil would go on to become basically it's ingrained in pop culture. The X-Files is an episode called The Jersey Devil, and I think the first or second season that's pretty decent. There is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle monster named after the Jersey Devil.
Oh, that's cool.
Games, cards, all the such.
Anyone looked for it at one point?
What's that?
Josh Gates from Destination Truth.
Oh, yeah. Josh Gates went after it. Monster Quest went after it. Tons of documentaries about it. Couple movies. The Barons is a pretty good movie. I believe that came out in 2012, maybe 11. That's a pretty good movie. Very psychological. It's a super good movie. It's got Sean Astin in it. Or not Sean Astin. Sean Ashmore. And that one is one I'd recommend to people if you're interested in the Jersey Devil. It's super trippy, very well made. Another movie that came out in 2002 is called The 13th Child, The Legend of the Jersey Devil, which is a movie I watched at nauseam as a kid on VHS because it's a Jersey Devil movie. It's a terrible movie.
It's
horrible. I tried watching it just the other day. It's on Tubi for free if you want to check it out. 13th Child, the Jersey Devil. It's like shot on like some really shitty camera. It's not, I guess I wouldn't say it's shitty. It's just not as great. The Barons is like a real movie, and it's a really good movie.
So the Barons is the one we're going
to. Yeah, that's the one to check out. If you want to watch a Jersey Devil movie, check that one out. Super slow burn. Ooh. Very psychological. Just a fantastic film.
I love a good psychological thriller.
You would definitely enjoy this. It is a really good movie. I'm not a big psychological thriller guy. I like my shit, you know, fast and loose and A-B storytelling, nice, efficient, tight.
No, I want to think about it. I want to be.
I don't like. There's very few movies I want to think of when I watch a movie. I don't want to think. I think all day, and that's because I get paid to think. If I'm watching a movie, I want big, dumb action explosions. That's all I want. I don't want to think about shit. If I'm thinking about something, I better be fucking getting paid for it.
Hey, that's a good way to yelp.
Yeah. Yeah, I know how much I make to get paid to think, and no one's paying me that much to think about movies. So.
Not yet, anyway.
No, not yet. We'll see. Start getting some donations down in the link below. I might start thinking about some. Might start watching some think pieces.
I mean, hey.
But no, for now, I like my movies big, dumb, and loud. The Barons, not big, dumb, and loud. Very good movie. Definitely check that out if you want to watch a good Jersey Devil movie. Like I said, the episode, The X-Files, is pretty good. The Jersey Devil, I think it's the first season, if I remember. Pretty sure it's the first season. First or second. I get those two seasons mixed up because they're both very short. But first, second season, or one of those two. But it's spanned the gamut. It's become ingrained in cryptid culture. I would say pop culture, even though it to me seems like one of the lesser known cryptids. I'm shocked of, because I consider it to be my Mount Rushmore of cryptids.
He's just freaky. The Jersey Devil. He's just freaky.
It's a very unique cryptid just because of the historical nature of it. You know, like I said, Napoleon Bonaparte, Benjamin Franklin have ties to the Jersey Devil in some manner. It's been around since the 1700s, 1600s maybe, maybe further back with the Lenape people.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, to me, one of the older cryptids.
That's what's scary about it, too, is you have a lot of history to back it up, and you have a lot of eyewitnesses to back it up as well. And we don't really have a good, like, modern day or logical, I guess, explanation for what could the Jersey Devil be.
Right.
You know, I have, like, the, what was the one? The Horned Owl.
That's for,
we talked about it with Goblins.
Horned Owl for the Goblins, yes.
Goblins. They brought him back. And we're like, maybe it's the Horned Owl. And I'm like, tell me that Jersey Devil doesn't look like... The Horned Owl doesn't look like a goat.
No.
Sir.
Isn't the Horned Owl also Mothman? Or is that another bird?
I think it's another bird, but it is an owl.
Okay.
Mothman.
Owl. Yeah, because I remember that being a thing. I think even the Flatwoods Monster, I think even is...
They love to blame owls. They love
to blame owls.
Hello! What is it? It's the barn owl.
Barn owl. Okay. Okay.
Or the barred owl.
Barred owl. It's barred owl. No mistaking the Jersey Devil for an owl. I think people may have claimed it might have been like a big bat or something like that, but
Did you hear about the freaking animal research facility or like the animal disease research facility that's like there in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Some people thought like the Jersey Devil was, or one of the theories is like they thought the Jersey Devil was something that escaped out of there. Like they're making like human animal hybrids.
That's something. Have you ever seen the Montauk Monster?
No.
That picture? There's a picture online. Go and search Montauk Monster. Google it. Do you know that Stranger Things was originally supposed to be about Montauk? Yeah, the original script for Stranger Things was called Montauk, and it took place in Montauk, New Jersey. That was the research facility originally in Stranger Things.
Oh, it's that thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen this a lot.
Yeah, that's.
Did they ever determine what this was?
I don't think so. I think there's like theories that it was like some kind of like pig or dog or something that was, you know, decomposing or has some kind of disease or something. But
yeah, I heard the dog theory, and I'm like, ma'am, that has a beak.
Yeah, that beak is what gets me. But if you look though, I always like play devil's advocate because I don't believe in just like saying things or things because you want them to be. You gotta be logical about it. I don't want hearsay and conjecture to be real. I want the real things. Bigfoot, aliens, all that stuff I believe in, but I want like the hard facts. Speaking of the beak, if you look at like, if you ever see like a cow skull or stuff like that, if you look at it the right way, they have kind of a beak if you look at it the right way. I had a lot of cow skulls growing up, and if you imagine if like the skin was the right way, it could kind of seem like a beak, but.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, yeah, it could be kind of beakish, but. You know, if something's floating in the water, hitting rocks and shit around New Jersey, I'm sure it could break off a snout and look like a beak. But
So lucky for me, because I'm an oddities collector, I have both deer skulls and coyote skulls and a cat skull that I'm looking at right now. And all of them, because of the bottom of the nose, all look like a beak. Because
they kind of look like a beak.
It's all cartilage. So yeah, you're right on that. Damn it, Tyler, let me believe in my fantasy.
Oh, I want to believe. I'm always about believing. Just I just want it to be solid proof. I want things I believe to be definitively proven.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, that was the Jersey Devil, the legend of the Jersey Devil, all the way back to Lenape people, to Daniel Leeds, Mother Leeds. It's a crazy story. Definitely one of the more unique cryptid origin tales.
Oh, yeah.
Deals with a lot of stuff, you know, pagans and the devil himself.
Mm-hmm.
Quakers and Benjamin Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very interesting origin of this cryptid that stood the test of time, possibly thousands of years.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So next time you're eating your Quaker oatmeal, think of the Jersey Devil.
Yeah, I think the Jersey Devil. Yep. That'd be a good merchandise, Jersey Devil Oats. Yeah, Jersey Devil Oats.
I don't know. Like, can we put red food dye in it or something? Like, strawberries in it? Like, don't
strawberries.
Mash up strawberries and do something like that with it. And that's also copyrighted.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
That's ours. That is ours.
Can't have that one.
Yeah.
But no, this is the finale. It's been the finale of Cult-tober. What a month it's been. We've talked about a lot of stuff. Werewolves, vampires, ghosts, goblins, and the devil himself.
Ooh, yeah.
We've had some good guests. We've had a lot of fun guests this month. We had the Cult of Lore guys joining us. We had the Farthest Reaches podcast. And we even had our own Essie, our editor, joining us, who'll be editing this episode. So thank you for being part of our show, Essie.
He's the best.
Thank everyone for listening. We were so glad we were able to do 5 episodes this month and end it all on Halloween Day.
Yay!
This has been quite the month. And we won't be back until November 14th.
So we're taking a little bit of a break.
That's taking a little bit of a break. Our usual break.
For 2 weeks.
Bi-weekly. Bi-weekly. We're back on our normal schedule, I should say. So we'll be back November 14th. And Bailey, you're presenting.
I am. I'm really excited.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the Skinwalkers.
Ooh, that's what I know. That's something you like talking about, Skinwalkers.
The Skinwalkers are just something that it's another one of those ones where like people have seen it, and there's nothing I've seen or nothing that I've heard that I'm like, okay, you're gonna have to like have me make some serious concessions for that to be like a coyote or, you know, an emaciated deer or like something like that. It's one of those things where it's just like any logical explanation for it, I'm not satisfied with.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't make sense. So I am absolutely enthralled with the Skinwalkers, and especially that with the Skinwalker Ranch. And yeah, we're going to get into that. Yeah.
I can't wait. Cause I love the Skinwalker. That's a really interesting cryptid. I'm really excited to hear that one. And we're here. We're going to be in November, and November, of course, means that we'll be having a Black Friday special, of course, and stick around for that. But I think that does it for us, Bailey. That does it for Cult-tober, Cult Talk Conspiracy. It's finally over. It's finally ended.
It is.
Yes. Now, today, as we do every year, Cult Talk Net, we do a big Halloween special, a Cult-tober special. We try to have the whole group involved, big episode, and this year we have decided to do the Addams Family, the 1991 classic Addams Family with Raoul's Julia, and we are doing that over on Cult-tober Plus, our new podcast feed that's home to Cult-tober Plus, all of our holiday specials and bonus content and past episodes. It's going to be a jam-packed feed. So if you guys like what we do, if you like hearing Bailey and I, if you like Cult Talk Net stuff, Cult of Lore, Cult of Campbell, Cult of Russell, American Pie Slices, all of our things, if you guys like hearing us, if you like what we're putting down, go over and check out Cult-tober Plus, available on all podcast platforms. And it's if you go over there now, it is jam-packed with content.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we have put out 3 episodes a month through Cult-tober.
It's packed to the gills, guys.
It absolutely is. And like I said, today is the special release of the Addams Family, where the whole gang's on board. Bailey and I, Ben, Eric, Jerry from Cult of War, Urse, Michael, everyone's there, and it is one fun episode. What was your favorite episode for Cult-tober?
Probably Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
That was good.
What about you?
Halloween Town, because I was just on one in that episode. I don't know when we were recording that, what I was doing, but I was on one that episode. Mike was editing it here in my house, and he edits without headphones on, and I was just like, what the fuck was I like? Why was I saying that?
Just, you had a moment. Just
like, I was having some moments.
Moments.
But I tell him, no matter what, always keep my shit in. I tell him, I don't want anything edited out. If I say it, put it in. I'm not worried about shit. Put it in. Don't ask me. I don't give a shit. Put it in.
Yeah.
So I tell him that every time. He's like, sure you want to say it? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned. So yeah, I liked Halloween Town. That was me in rare form, and I really enjoyed listening to it and being part of it.
Yeah. I was in rare form for Dusk Till Dawn.
You were. Definitely check out Dusk Till Dawn.
That's an X-rated episode.
That's a good episode. Yeah, definitely check that out. Bailey delivers one of the most iconic lines from the movie in full. So check that out for sure. Cult-tober Plus.
All on Cult-tober Plus.
All on Cult-tober Plus. And hey, if you guys want some Cult-tober merch, some Cult of Campbell merch, some Cult Talk Conspiracy merch, some Cult of Lore merch, today is the last day for our big Cult-tober sale event on our Teespring. Woo! Check the link tree below. $2 off everything. And today is the last day, so make sure you guys check that out. Get some merch. The Cult-tober collection is out. One of my favorite collections I put together. And you can get that stuff in a color and in monochrome, so check it out.
The monochrome's cool.
Monochrome's cool. The color stuff's really cool. Fall colors I put together. But yeah, check that shit out. Get yourself some merch for $2 off everything. Not your order, $2 off everything. Each item, $2 off.
Look at us. We're so nice.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do. But I think that does it, Bailey, for us. It's time for a nice little rest before we are back at it. Making people question everything. But after Cult-tober, just need a nice little rest.
Oh, yes. Little siesta time.
So we'll be back here, not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. Talk about Skinwalkers. Make sure you guys follow us at Cult Talk Net across the board. Instagram, YouTube, X, Facebook, all the things. Check us out at Cult Talk Net. If you go to a social media platform, more than likely, if you look up at Cult Talk Net, you're going to find us. Yep. Make sure you guys check out Cult of Campbell, which came back for Cult-tober every Monday. Check out Cult of Lore, the first and third Thursday of every month. Cult of Russell also came back for Cult-tober, so check that episode out. And Cult Talk Conspiracy, we're here every other Tuesday. Usual. Yes. Not every Tuesday, every other Tuesday.
Back to normal.
Back to normalcy for a little bit, just in time for the holidays. But thank you guys for listening. I've been Ty.
I've been Bailey.
Question everything.